So I'm going to talk about a version of inflation that we call Hagedorn inflation. This is work with Steve Abel and Ian Kogan. The basic idea here is that all it takes to get inflation when you go to very high temperatures near the string scale is strings attached to brains. So there's no potential required here. It's simply the fact that these strings on brains give you a negative pressure that causes our brain to inflate. So let me remind you that the motivation for inflation is one of the problems in the standard Big Bang is that it's hard to explain the homogeneity and isotropy on large scales. In fact, if you go back to the time of last scattering, you find that our observable universe scaled back to that time is huge compared to the size of a causal region. So the present observable universe at that time was 10 to the 5 causally distinct regions. So what I'm doing here is motivating why one would be looking for negative pressures to solve this problem. So to state quantitatively the horizon problem, the co-moving size of the observable universe today is simply given here, where we integrate from the time of radiation decoupling up to today, this integral of dt over the scale factor. The co-moving size of the observable universe today has to fit inside the co-moving size of the horizon at some early time. And so it's the same integral where we integrate up to some time, and this is before decoupling. So to explain the causal contact of all points of our observable universe, you have to have this length fit inside that one. So you have to have L0 less than Ln. So our observable universe scaled back to that time has to fit into a causal region. So if we assume that the scale factor grows with the time to some power, other than during an inflationary period, then this causality condition can be written like this, where H is the Hubble constant today and then at this very early time. And just putting in H equals A dot over A, you see that you have to get an A double dot bigger than zero somewhere between that early time and now. And in the standard four-dimensional Freeman equations, A double dot over A is proportional to minus rho plus 3p. So traditionally, the way to solve this problem with inflation is to have a negative pressure. So although I'm going to go to higher dimensions, I'm still arguing for why one would be looking for negative pressures. So to reiterate what we've seen many times this morning, I'm going up to higher dimensions, where we look at our observable world as a three brain embedded in extra dimensions, where this larger system I'll call the bulk. So in particular, I want to go to very high temperatures. And as you go to higher and higher temperatures, the strings in your system have more and more degrees of freedom. The strings oscillate. And that you get more and more oscillator modes, and things blow up. In fact, so the density of states grows exponentially, where this beta H is the inverse of the Hagedorn temperature. So as you try to raise the temperature of the universe as you go back into the early universe, it gets harder and harder you have this blow up going on as you approach this Hagedorn temperature. So physical quantities blow up. So for example, if we want to look at an expectation value of the energy, then with this density of states in here and this Boltzmann factor, you see that the physical quantities blow up as 1 over beta minus beta H to some power. So typically they diverge at this Hagedorn temperature. One way of describing this is in terms of a long string behavior, where you think of this as a string in a random walk where E is the energy density, is the energy of the string, and the size of the random walk is essentially given by the square root of that energy. So I mentioned that as energy goes up, you excite these oscillator modes, and one way to describe this is in terms of long strings in a random walk analogy, where the length of the string is the string of length n has an energy proportional to the length. So let me draw a picture of the kind of this scenario again. So what we're particularly interested in is the one on the bottom, where this is the brain embedded in the bulk. And for now, we put it in a box. And what we need to get the interesting behavior is that these strings stretch all the way across the box. I'll use the word winding modes for these, but really what you need is that these things are space filling. So in this is the high energy limit where you have these strings that stretch all the way across. So the careful calculation of the density of states in the system was done by Abel et al., and you have this exponential behavior up here that I was talking about. So what I've argued is that we have this exponential blow up in things as you reach the Hagedorn temperature, as you approach the Hagedorn temperature. Given this density of states, you can find a partition function. And from the partition function, you can calculate what the T mu nu, the energy momentum in the bulk, is. And the result that you'll see is that you obtain a negative pressure. And as I argued at the beginning, when we put this into Einstein's equations, there are scenarios where you can find inflation of our brain. Okay, so in calculating this partition function, we put the density of states in here. This thing blows up, as expected. From the partition function, we can then calculate the energy momentum tensor in the bulk. Its expectation value is given here. And in the way we did this, we assumed that small changes in the metric corresponded to small changes in the volume, so that we were able to calculate this. So in doing this, here's the result that you get. And the interesting feature is that you have this negative pressure appearing in the bulk, where the pressure scales as the energy density in the strings to the 1/2 power. Okay, now let me restrict myself now to a five-dimensional universe where you have one extra dimension, which I'll call y, and put the brain at y equals 0. Then the metric for my system is written down here. You've seen this before today as well. So this is the scale factor of these spatial three planes, for example, the one we live on. And B is the scale factor of the extra dimensions. And so again, y is, as you go off into the extra dimensions, is this coordinate. So in five dimensions, we can calculate the cosmological equations. So the pieces that we need the five-dimensional Einstein's equations, as well as the Israel conditions for the boundary, which have also been discussed today. So here are the five-dimensional Einstein's equations. And what we do then is take the T mu nu that we just obtained for this Hagedorn regime and plug it in on the right-hand side of these five-dimensional Einstein's equations. So and in particular, we're going to use this negative bulk pressure. The other thing you need in addition to the Einstein's equations are the boundary conditions. I'll mention a little more about these. So this is similar to electrostatics. You have a charged plate in electrostatics, and you know that the change in the electric field in the perpendicular direction is related to this charge per area. And so in the same way that you have conditions relating the charge to the electric field on either side, separate charged plate. In brain rules, it's exactly the same thing. And so one of these conditions relates the energy momentum on our brain, rho brain, to the way that this thing is embedded in the bulk, to the extrinsic curvature. And in particular, remember that A is the scale factor in the three dimensions. So the change in A as you move to either side of the brain is related to the energy momentum on the brain. So this is, it's exactly the same thing by analogy. So we have the five-dimensional Einstein's equations, and we have these boundary conditions for the fact that we're putting brains in there. And so now let me show you the results that we get when we solve these equations. So what behavior do we get for the scale factors? We considered a number of different cases, and what I'm talking about now is the behavior of this brain at y equals 0. Then, in the first case, we set the cosmological constants in the brain in bulk to 0, as well as fixing the b dot equals 0, the scale factor of the brain. The brain is, so b dot for the scale factor of the brain is 0. And what we find is that, again, we're in this high energy limit where you have these strings that are space filling, that we actually did it for arbitrary number of dimensions, that the scale factor grows in time as t to the 4 over p. P is the number of large parallel dimensions parallel to our brain. So in the interesting case where p is 3, so our observable universe, you get 8, goes like t to the 4/3, you get a superluminal expansion. So we can play around with the number of extra dimensions and also the number of dimensions that have these windings in them and get different answers, exponential expansion versus power law and so forth. And I won't talk about all the different results that we get. Well, I'll put them up here. So this depends on the number of dimensions that have that have no windings in them that are transverse to the brain. Then another possibility is that b dot is not 0. And we still take lambda brain and lambda bulk, this combination, to be 0. Here there's a family of power law solutions. Scale factor in our brain going like t to the q. Scale factor in the extra dimensions going like t to the r. So you can get, again, accelerated expansion for q bigger than 1 for r less than 1/3. So for example, you might have a shrinking bulk and our brain expanding. There's also a family of hyperbolic solutions, which can be exponentially expanding. Now, if any of these solutions depends on the initial conditions. It depends on the initial value of this b dot. One question is, how do you sustain inflation? So we're able to find the onset of inflation. We also know that once the temperature drops out of the Hagedorn regime, that inflation is going to stop. But we are unable to calculate what happens in between. We made this assumption of connecting, of having small changes in the metric correspond to small changes in the volume, and this interpretation is going to fail. We can speculate what happens about sustaining inflation. For example, there has been work done previously by Neil Turok in which he was talking about strings in anti-de Sitter space. De Sitter. continuing to drive this kind of exponential expansion. So what our scenario does then is give you a setup for how you would get into such a phase. There's also many other possibilities to explore for what might happen once you get the inflation going. So I'm going to conclude. The basic idea again is that you have open strings on brains at high temperatures near this Hagedorn temperature. You can have a negative pressure in the bulk, which then can drive our brain to inflate. So, and again, it's a different scenario in that there's no potential here. It's just the existence of the strings. And let me stop there.
So I guess I had two questions. So what matter do you assume on the brain? You said there's no cosmological constant, but do you put matter on the brain?
Actually, in evaluating the Israel conditions and so on, the energy density on the brain is so small that we essentially set it to zero. So it doesn't matter, it shouldn't matter, it's subdominant.
Oh, so your ratio of junction condition is actually just continuity of
the in this case, yeah.
Okay, second question is, when you say V dot is zero, do you mean that as an initial condition or for all time?
For that subset of solutions, I meant for all time. We just arbitrarily stuck that in.
That's probably not consistent with the full Einstein equation. But that's saying that the fifth direction is just constant.
Right. Okay. Yeah, no, it is.
That's usually not something one can just impose. You have matter in the bulk, it's going to cause that direction to expand.
Well, this is all self-consistent with this. It depends on, we don't know what the energy momentum in the bulk is, of course, like as far as adding other additional things in there. So this is for. This is for this particular case where we're just looking at the strings. So, I mean, as you go to these higher and higher temperatures, the thing that dominates are these strings. So I started out answering that. I don't like what I initially started to say. But this is the dominant behavior. And it is, yes, it's self-consistent.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your case, the negative pressure was moved in one time. Is it dependent on the number of dimensions?
You know, that's been bugging me too. I have to have some simple heuristic answer to that, and I don't. So it's been bugging me. I mean, it's different because you have the brains in there, right? So you can't just generalize to arbitrary. You can't take that simple. P is minus n, number of dimensions, whatever. You can't. This is a different system. But it would be nice to have a simple heuristic answer to that. Yes, I agree. Okay, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Oh, I can move. Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I was talking about at the very end about sustaining inflation. So there's, as I said, there's been work done before that once you are inflating in this system of strings and you continue, then you tend to continue to do that. So it's not, I mean, this temperature drop assumes adiabaticity, which is probably, it assumes it's a very simple assumption, right? And it's probably not what's going on here. I don't know. I guess, well, we have to know this question of how you sustain inflation would be required to be able to answer that. So I don't know.
Good.
Okay, now I have an announcement to make before everybody goes, which is that we have a barbecue today, so there'll be no food out here. So you have to walk a little farther. You have to go down to the beach, okay? And then there will be buses whenever you want them taking you back to the hotel.
Thank you.